Christmas Eve again, like last year and the year before, stretching back 2,000 years like a bridge leading back to a manger in Bethlehem. It's also a bridge to all the Christmas Eves that you and I have ever lived. Tonight's service, with its message of hope and music, are my bridge back through the years to a child, Swedenborgian, Christmas Eve in Maine. Let me explain. A child's Christmas Eve, because then I was just 5 years old. My brother was ever so much older and wiser than I. He was six. I tell it from my child's memory because it is the first Christmas Eve that I can remember. It was Swedenborgian because even though our nearest church was many miles away from our island, Mother was the granddaughter and great-granddaughter of Swedenborgian ministers in Mansfield, Massachusetts. Although she was now a widow with two small boys to raise, she always kept the Swedenborgian church in her heart. Maine, of course, because our small island of Westport was out in the Atlantic Ocean, a ferry boat ride off the rock-bound coast of Maine. Mother invented the Three Wise Men Festival to wake our neighbors out of their winter hibernation and to spread the joy of Christmas community in bleak midwinter. She had two rules. Everyone had to bring a gift of food for all, and everyone had to tell a story about Christmas Eve. We boys went out and chopped down a Christmas tree, and then we got hay from the barn. Dick, my brother, put his hay under the tree. I used mine to make a little manger under our useless piano. Useless because it hadn't been tuned since World War I. I put my teddy bear, left over from when I was a baby, into the manger. Mother shook her head, but didn't say anything. We were finished. The hosts were Mr. Swanton, who owned the farm. Next was Mother, his paid housekeeper who did the cooking. She had baked two apple pies using our winter apples from the root cellar. Last were Dick and I. Our food gift was all the clams that we had dug from Sandy Cove at low tide. We were ready. Then our guests came. I heard Hazel Cahale stamping off the snow. She had brought a minced pie. Next it was Fred Bailey using a stick because his cane wouldn't work in the snow. He brought a box of chocolate-covered cherries. Through some trick that I can't remember anymore, I got to eat three of those chocolates before he took the box home. Then we heard Henry Tarbox coming through the snow singing a sea chanty. All on the bowlin', the ship she is a-rollin'. Henry, a local lobster fisherman, had brought three fat lobsters. Our guests had all arrived and the festival began. Mr. Swanton read from the book of Luke in the Bible. Then we tried to sing Silent Night. But our only real singer was Mother, and she wouldn't sing alone without words or music, so we gave up. We gave up singing, and we ate. Next came the stories. Mr. Swanton told about Christmas during the Civil War. In one of their winter camps, the Union Army and the Confederate Army were camped so close to each other that they could hear each other singing Christmas carols. Then, across the battle lines, the soldiers from those enemy camps began to sing the carols together. Hazel's story was how much fun it was to be a little girl in a big family on Christmas Eve. Mother told about her first Christmas as a new bride with her husband, Lyman. She said that up in heaven, he must be proud of his two boys. Fred told about a Christmas Eve spent with his childhood friend who sold life insurance. But he wouldn't sell Fred insurance because Fred's hips were deformed and he was not expected to live very long. Fred was proud that by this Christmas, he had already outlived his healthy life insurance friend by more than 40 years. Dick and I tried to tell about getting our Christmas tree, but we interrupted each other so much that they made us stop. Henry told about one Christmas Eve when he was a blue water sailor on a sea-going tug. That night they were towing another ship when a great storm came up and they had to cut the tow line. The axe had gone overboard and Henry had to cut the tow line as big around as my arm with his pocket knife. In the cold and sleet, Henry cut the tow line, but in the process, he cut off his own thumb too. And he was missing a thumb on his right hand. Now I knew that because I was left-handed. But how could that be? He was right-handed. Then I remembered. Mother had said, Henry Tarbox never spoiled a good story for the sake of the truth. At last, time for our guests to go home to the deep snow. They left together, everybody happy and full of Christmas cheer. I heard Henry singing, "What shall we do with a drunken sailor?" But that was just Henry. There was never anything intoxicating in our house. It was time for bed. Mother led the way with a small kerosene lamp, and we climbed the creaky stairs to our icy bedroom. As we burrowed under the mountain of frosty blankets, Mother said, "Good night, Dick. Good night, David. Sweet Christmas dreams." I asked, "Mother, why the Three Wise Men Festival? Tonight our festival had three wise men and two wise women." Then my brother, who always got the last word, said, "And two wise children." But he was just being nice because he knew that he was the only one who was wise. Mother smiled, but she didn't answer. She went downstairs with a lamp, and suddenly, starlight burst into the room through the frost in the window panes. It was almost a silent night, this windless, snowy, bleak midwinter night. But I could hear my brother's breathing, and I could hear Mother cleaning up in the kitchen, and I could hear the Atlantic Ocean waves booming on Cahill Point. It was Christmas Day with presents. I closed my eyes, but I kept thinking of all the Christmas Eves to come with more stories. Maybe, someday, I would learn to tell a Christmas Eve story all by myself. All by myself. And then I was dreaming.